The committee would come to order, please. This is the Senate State Affairs Committee. It is Tuesday, April 19th, approximately 3:40 in the afternoon. Members who are present at this time, Senators Davis, Huggins, Vice Chairman Wagner, and myself, Senator Terrio. Senator Elton told me earlier today he was not going to be able to make the meeting today due to a conflict. We have a number of confirmation hearings today for the Alaska Human Rights Commission. I'd like to take those first, and then we'll get to the one piece of legislation that we have for the committee to consider. We have three people on teleconference, so why don't we go to the teleconference first? And the first person I've got on my list here is Tammy Miller. Ms. Miller, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Okay. We do have a copy of some information here on different resumes. Is there anything in particular that you would like to highlight on the question and answer that you submitted, and also perhaps maybe just a little bit of information on whether you're brand new to the commission or being reappointed?
No, I am brand new to the commission. I have been a resident of the state of Alaska since 1961. I am a retired teacher. I am currently co-owner of Miller Investments, and I am active in the community. I am, as I said, brand new to the commission. I was asked prior whether what experience I had, and I said, well, as a teacher, you learn to teach and to treat all little children as equals, whether they be kindergartners or high schoolers, so I don't think that I would have any problem being on the commission.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as you said you own an investment advisory company, have you had that?
It's a private investment company. It's okay. A family health company.
Oh, okay. And any other business interaction over the years?
Oh, I have, well, let's see, I currently run an antique business, and I do shows only. And I do the state fair, I do for Rendezvous, and I do a show at Sears in November. I, over the years, we have done commercial fishing. We have done commercial tree farming out of state, not in Alaska. We have commercial and residential rentals. Well, let's see. My husband worked for FAA and is currently in the Miller Investment Company. That's about it. We've lived in the valley, in the Matanuska Valley, for 33 years and owned property for 39 years in the valley.
And let's see, I see Anchorage School District teacher.
Yes.
So teacher for that particular district your whole time?
I taught for 1 year in King Salmon, Alaska. I taught for 1 9-month period in California. Before I came to Alaska, I taught for one semester in Michigan, and then the remainder of the time for the Anchorage School District, yes.
Okay. Do we have questions from the committee members? Senator Huggins?
Hey, Tammy, Charlie Huggins, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Could you just give us a thumbnail sketch of your time as president of the MEA board?
Oh, yes. I was on the MEA board for 18 years. I believe I was president for 12 years. During that time, we grew by fourfold, and they are still growing. I managed to keep our investments safe. We never lost money. We made money on all of our investments. We managed to keep the cost of power to the consumers. We continually decreased it through attrition. When I was first on the board, there were like 279 employees. When I left the board, there was 120 employees, and we had grown fourfold. We are probably one of the best managed companies in the state, I feel, simply because we have a manager that deals with the consumers and who attempts to keep costs low while still being very, very fair to the employees. We also weathered some strikes, and We took one to the National Labor Relations Board. It took years to get it through, but it was an illegal strike. And so we were vindicated in that aspect.
Mr. Chairman, there are three things I would say about Tammy Miller. One, that everybody knows her. Secondly, she's high energy. And thirdly, she gets things done right.
Do we have other questions from committee members? Seeing none, thank you, Ms. Miller. Next, we will go to Randall Elledge. Is Randall online?
Yes, I am.
Okay. If you, again, just perhaps go over your submitted information here and highlight anything that you believe needs to be brought to our attention.
I've been a resident of Alaska for 23 years. Diverse opportunities throughout the community, from Girl Scouts to Better Business Bureau to IADC. I am a Vietnam veteran. I've seen many changes in the state and in population, as well as opportunities. I currently work for MRO Sales as product manager. Been a property owner since I came to Alaska. Raised my children here.
And are you a new appointee to the board or a reappointee?
Thank you. I am a new appointee to the commission.
Okay. And let's see, MRO, let's see here, oversee product management, but it doesn't give us much information on what the product is.
It's industrial equipment and supplies, as well as oil field equipment. Serving the state of Alaska.
Do members...
I'm talking about geographically.
I see. Do members have any questions? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Elledge. Finally, we have Chris Hayes.
Yes, I'm here.
And again, is there anything in particular on your resume that we have here that you feel needs to be highlighted?
Oh, I've been in Alaska all of my life. My mother and father came here when I was a month old, so birthday coming up here, so that's how long I've been here. I'm a fair-minded individual. I believe in the rights of all, and that it should be their rights should be protected from discrimination. I feel that I'm a fair person, that I would weigh all the information and follow all the due process and guidelines when it comes to making decisions. And pretty much that's it. I've worked in both private sector as a business owner. I've worked for Alaska Communication Systems. I've worked in both the city and school district governments, also in the nonprofit and community-based communities. I feel that I can offer well-rounded views of circumstances and situations to make relevant decisions in the course of my duties on the commission. I am a new appointee.
Okay, and I see you've got listed here an extensive list of boards, nonprofit boards, and executive director. Is that just a list of your actions over the years, or how many of these are you currently working on, and are you going to be able to add one more thing to that workload?
Actually, right now, I am the executive director of the Love Social Services Center, which is a nonprofit tutoring and mentoring organization, and that came about so that we could tutor and mentor and give remedial assistance to the young people that are having to take the exit exam so that they can pass the reading and the writing and the math portions of that exam. We have found that a lot of them, specifically in my ethnic background, need a little extra help, and so we're trying to see to it that they get that extra help. I am on the national regional board for the Civil Rights Commission. They meet like 3 times a year, as I had said before, depending on funding. And we meet by teleconference, and sometimes we meet face to face. That would not hinder me from serving on the Human Rights Commission.
Okay. Do committee members have any questions?
Nope.
Seeing none, thank you for those on teleconference. We'll now come to Juno and have Mr. Lester Lunsford.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, members. My name is Lester Lunsford, and if confirmed by the legislature, I'll be reappointed to the Human Rights Commission. I bring to the Human Rights Commission a little over 20 years of law enforcement experience. I'm also currently the mayor for the city of Whittier. I have served on the commission for 2 years now, filling a vacancy 2 years ago. And I'm very pleased and delighted to sit on that commission. Being in law enforcement most of my adult life, I've worked hard for the rights of individuals, and I'd like to continue by sitting on the board.
In the highlights of your qualifications, 29 years of law enforcement, was that a municipal police department, trooper?
I started off as a deputy sheriff down in the state of Florida, and in 1984, I moved to Alaska and went to Barrow, so I've been in municipal law enforcement the whole 20 years up here in Alaska.
And currently with the Whittier Department?
Well, actually, because of my position as mayor, I had to resign from the city of Whittier as the police chief there to hold this political position. My paying job is working for the Alaska Railroad Corporation.
And do committee members have any questions?
You asked the one I was going to ask, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. For the four of you, I hope you understand that the briefness of the hearing today, the review, quite often if there are problems with a nomination, we hear about it. And I don't know about the other members, but I've not heard any concerns expressed. And so that primarily is setting up the confirmation hearings is an opportunity for people to bring concerns to us. And if there are none, really, it's a pretty quick process. So at this time, I would entertain a motion from the committee. Senator Wagner.
I would move the committee forward the names of Chris Hayes, Barbara Miller, Randy Elge, and Lester Lunsford for confirmation.
Okay. Without objection, the names will be forwarded for consideration at a joint session. And then if we can just take a brief at ease. Committee would come back to order. The next item on the agenda today is consideration of Senate Bill 172. I have a member of my staff who's been doing the research on this, Mr. Balash. So, Joe, if you would just introduce the bill to us and go over any of the research you've pulled together.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Joe Balash, staff to Senator Terrio. Senate Bill 172 deals with the presentation of an initiative or a referendum on the ballot, and we're talking specifically about how the language appears on the ballot when somebody goes in on Election Day to cast their vote for or against the measure. The current statutes provide that the title of a ballot question, and in this case initiative or referendum, must be no more than 6 words. And that is also, there's also a word limitation on the summary. But as we took a look at some of the initiatives that are currently in play, having been filed with the Division of Elections, They are getting more and more complex and more sophisticated in the nuance of what they do. And it's making it more difficult to keep things to this six-word limitation. And so the proposal here is to increase the number of words up to 25. It's just sort of a random number. Have that be the limitation in place, not, and it's a maximum as opposed to a requirement that they come up with 25 words to describe the particular ballot question. And allowing Lieutenant Governor up to 25 words for the ballot title is going to provide the opportunity for a more accurate description of the contents of the proposed law in terms of a petition or the contents of a piece of legislation that's being repealed or attempted to be repealed in the form of a referendum. And I'd be happy to answer questions or describe a little bit more about some of the petitions that we took a look at.
Could you perhaps give us an idea, just read some of the titles on those documents?
Sure. One petition submitted on April 6th of last year, which is still active and can they're gathering signatures on now, is an initiative requiring the state of Alaska to vote on an act providing children and their families specific rights when children are in the custody of state children services. Boiling that down into six words is a little bit of a challenge. Another one is an initiative requiring 75% legislative majority or voter approval to impose new taxes or increase existing taxes, prohibiting real estate transfer taxes, and providing for certain local options. Again, trying to boil that down into six words, which six do you choose? So it's just sort of an effort to try and make sure that when voters are presented with a question in the voting booth that they have a fair understanding of what it is they're being asked to take a look at and cast a vote on.
And have the recent history, have they used all six words all the time, or and I guess one of my concerns and the reason for the interest I expressed in this is we hear all the time that politics now always gets boiled down to just being a bumper sticker, and it seems to me that the limitation of the six words just lends the initiative process to that. You know, what's the cleverest title you can come up with for your initiative, and if you can get that tag to resonate with the public, then you're halfway to a success, where you really should have something that's descriptive so people have a better understanding of what all is encapsulated. So I had meant to get together with you, Joe, and go over some of the stuff that's been on the ballot over the past couple of years, and wondering if you looked at that.
Sure. Last fall, in the 2004 general election, we had the temporary appointment of U.S. Senator. We also had prohibiting bear baiting or feeding. The temporary appointment issue was fairly simple and straightforward and easy to describe, but the prohibiting the bear baiting or feeding, if you remember back to the campaign that was waged on that issue, you know, there was a lot more to it than just saying you can't bait bears. There were the, you know, creation of crimes and penalties and really in many ways, you know, went far beyond just an attempt at simply banning the practice of bear baiting. Let's see, where did it go here? We also had, back in 2002, moving the location of the legislative session. That was one that was a little more complicated than just moving it. There was going to be this whole series of, you know, temporary move to Anchorage and then permanent move to Mat-Su, and you know, a couple of moving parts there. The other issue that that I just, flipping through today's stack of bills that we saw different committee substitutes, things that might, not that we've heard or seen or even gotten a sense of there being a referendum effort made, but Senate Bill 141, the PERS-TERS issue. I didn't take the time to count the number of words in this bill title, but it was 102 pages long, and the title itself didn't fit on the first page. So that was one that clearly there's an organized group out there with money that could mount a referendum challenge. And another one has to do with the duties of DHSS on public health and public health emergencies and disasters, one that, you know, there have been some issues raised by ACLU and another, you know, organized group that may be willing to make some other kind of effort. This one was 9 pages long, or 9 lines long. So, you know, clearly the issues out there that the legislature's dealing with are getting to be more complicated, more complex, and particularly the ones that are controversial. So just seemed like allowing that wider latitude was something to be done.
What level of authority would the lieutenant governor have to allow for descriptiveness but not necessarily advocacy in the title?
The statute requires that it indicate the general subject of the proposition. It does not seem to give him any authority to move one way or the other. And I would imagine if a group has taken the time and effort and resources to get something put on the ballot, they're probably going to be fairly territorial as to the impartiality granted by the lieutenant governor in the ballot title, maybe even go to court over it, or willing to go to court over it.
Well, I was looking here at page 1, line 7, talks about the ballot proposition shall not more than, well, that's 100 words, give a true and impartial summary. So that's the ballot proposition itself. The ballot title, the line above it, not more than 25 words, indicate the general subject of the proposition. So I'm wondering, have you had conversations with the Division of Elections or the Lieutenant Governor's office over how they would construe to give the general subject to prevent either side from entering into, you know, attempts for real advocacy?
Mr. Chairman, the conversation I had with the Lieutenant Governor's office was simply to clarify that we weren't going to try and require 25 words be put into a title. That was the only real issue that was raised by them. And I was just having an attempted discussion with the director from the Division of Elections, who's upstairs testifying in House Finance right now. So not sure that they have any concerns that we haven't addressed.
Do committee members have questions?
No question, just a statement, Mr. Chairman. I like this bill. Many times I will read a proposition and I'll be about half asleep by the time I get through reading the full body and the statement and the proposition, and it tends to lead me down the line of voting in the negative, because I just did a ballot for my local utility, and it had, I think, 4 pages of changes to bylaws alone, and vote for one person. So I think this is good. I think the easier you make the proposition to read and understand, the better off you are, and the truer picture you'll get of the people that would vote in the elections.
Yeah, well, I think certainly the proposers of the initiatives have to balance between the length to be descriptive and keep people's attention. I think it's human nature that if you don't understand it, you tend to vote no.
Absolutely.
That's the default.
And if you can't get to the end of it, you vote no.
Further questions for Mr. Balash? Seeing none, thank you. Annette, did you want to testify today? The Lieutenant Governor's office is here if there are questions. So with that, a fairly straightforward issue. There is the 1-0 fiscal note. And so what's the will of the committee?
Let's move it.
Senator Wagner.
I would move Senate Bill number 172 with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Without objection, the bill will be forwarded to the next committee of referral. And with that, we're done with the agenda for today.